This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Gaza Strip ahead of the offensive that they've talked about. In the meantime, bodies are still being found in a battle-scarred area in Israeli kibbutz. The people in Gaza, the Palestinians, are fleeing, and it's a horrible humanitarian crisis. And what about the hostages who, by the way, aren't all Israelis? There are Americans believed to be part of the group. It's just a question of how many. A lot of question marks still surrounding so many of the things that I just mentioned. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope everything is okay in your world as you listen to what I just said. This was kind of chilling to hear what the head of the Israeli deputy head of mission to the U.S. when he was on Bloomberg, and he was asked about what is the situation, what's the situation with the hostages. One of the things he said, it's not a hostage rescue mission, that this is about destroying Hamas. Here's what he said.
We are now taking to the next level to make sure that Hamas get a very clear message, and not only them, but also all the other foes in the region, including Iran, including Hezbollah and others. And at the same time, while the Hamas organization as a terrorist organization and others are holding people in captivity as they've kidnapped them, including, as we understand, also American citizens. We don't know the exact number. We don't know the exact number in general of the of those in captivity there. So we are caring about them. We will start seeing what we can do to get them, to have them released in a very safe way. But we do need to remember that we are at war now, and we'll continue striking very, very hard on Hamas.
And that's where the situation is right now, as it's another day. Here we are. This started on Saturday morning. And as I mentioned, you know, you've got Israel pounding the Gaza Strip, and they are close to that ground assault. They are warning, trying to get the Palestinians to flee, to be out of harm's way, is what they're saying. They leveled apartment blocks, sent a lot of injured people pouring into hospitals, according to the local health ministry. Anyway, generators are running out. At least 1,100 Palestinians and 1,200 Israelis have been killed since the Hamas militants, the terrorists, attacked those Israeli communities near the Gaza Strip on Saturday, overrunning military bases, hunting civilians, taking hostages, and inflicting upon Israel one of the bloodiest days in its 75-year history. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, has promised, he has promised to rain hell down on Hamas. In fact, saying Hamas will be crushed and eliminated. He had an address to the nation on Wednesday, and that is what he said. We are crushing Hamas like cockroaches. We are eliminating them off the face of the earth. Wow. So those troops are near the Strip. The reservists were called up. All of it is about getting ready for a massive invasion. And President Biden on Wednesday reiterated support for Israel and said that he had asked Netanyahu to operate by what he called the rules of war. He said, if we have a chance to end this in that way, it makes it very difficult for it to be repeated. He says, I've known Bibi for over 40 years, a very frank relationship. I know him well. And the one thing that I did say, that it is really important that Israel, in all of its anger, frustration that exists, is that they operate by the rules of war. Our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, left to Israel on Wednesday to show support for Israel, addressing some of the humanitarian challenges, including that civilian exit that I mentioned from Gaza while that offensive gets ready to happen. He said, we have the back of Israel. We have their back today. We'll have it tomorrow. We have it every day. 22 U.S. citizens killed, 17 others completely unaccounted for. The USS Dwight D. Eisenhower aircraft carrier strike group also deploying to the Mediterranean to bolster even more military presence from the U.S. in that region. The movement was long planned, so it isn't necessarily a reaction, but it's going to be available if necessary, because there already is a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier that moved to the eastern Mediterranean, the Ford, earlier this week. And Israel and its allies are also concerned in the middle of all of this that other people in the region, Hezbollah, namely in Lebanon, and its backer Iran, will take advantage of the conflict to open a multi-front conflict. So Israel warned of suspected infiltration from Lebanon, but later said an incursion had been ruled out. The Biden administration has been trying to pull off a deal to normalize relations between Saudi Arabia and Israel, but there are definitely signs that Riyadh's willingness to recognize Israel is in doubt. This is hardly anything that Netanyahu or the Israelis at this moment are worried about. It's not about that. It's about response. It's about crushing Hamas. There's no question. Netanyahu was very, very clear about that, and has said that over in different ways in the last couple of days, over and over again. So what is disturbing is now the Berry kibbutz. This was targeted by Hamas in the attack. There were 30 breaches in this supposedly incredibly secure fence that Israel had as part of their defense system. And now that they're helping to clear bodies, meaning people are helping to do that, a volunteer group, and also the military, there's 120 people on the streets and in houses of this very sleepy kibbutz of peaceful people in kind of a farming region. But in crawling around, they're seeing more and more things that they cannot believe. This was a place that was established even before the State of Israel was founded back in the 40s. And it's just a couple of miles from the blockaded now enclave of Gaza, of course, over the border fence, where people thought it was not able to be penetrated. When Hamas attacked on Saturday, people there called for help, but it was hours later. It was way too late for almost all of them, except for those that were able to hide and be rescued or got out of there. The ones, many that tried to hide, were hunted down and killed in their houses. How many were kidnapped? Because some of them were kidnapped from there. You don't know. And it's an incredibly emotional time for the people there as they see and hear. You got an earth, just to give you an idea, an earth mover filled with their corpses that are being just front-loaded out. Can you imagine? Yikes. Stay with us.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
A speaker yet. The House is in limbo. It really looked like they were on the verge of Steve Scalise, and then it didn't happen. So Majority Leader Steve Scalise was nominated for Speaker by a majority of Republicans. It was a closed secret ballot conference. That's what they do. Happened early on Wednesday. But then there were a significant number of Republicans who said they planned to protest his official election on the House floor. And that's what happened. They did not have the votes to do it. With a narrow majority, Republicans can only lose four members to allow anything to pass through their ranks. And Democrats, of course, are not going to help elect either Republican candidate, Steve Scalise or Jim Jordan, as Speaker. Instead, they're going to vote for Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. They did that in the 15 rounds of balloting it took for Kevin McCarthy to win the gavel this year. Remember that? Now there is the interim, who is still there, Patrick McHenry, the Republican from North Carolina. He actually decided, we're going to take a recess. We're recessing the House to avoid this embarrassment of the failed Speaker vote. No meetings, none of that. Word spread that there wouldn't be any kind of a conference meeting. The House adjourned. There is no clear path. This is something that is being discussed right now. Some lawmakers, I guess, were angry at Scalise's effort to block a proposed conference rule change that would have kept House Republicans voting behind closed doors until a Speaker nominee earned 217 votes. So it didn't happen. It's interesting the reaction from some. For example, you had Congressman Carlos Jimenez from Florida, who said, "I just chose not to participate in what I consider to be an injustice. He's pledged to vote for McCarthy when the election comes to the House floor." Then you had others like Representative Lloyd Smucker from Pennsylvania, who said the House Republican conference is broken. So we oust Kevin McCarthy and all other leaders are rewarded with promotions. How does that make sense or change anything? We need a different path forward. He tweeted that that out. And then you have to go to this comment, I think, because this just shows you where everybody's at. From the House Freedom Caucus Chair, Scott Perry, a Republican from Pennsylvania, who hasn't committed to supporting Scalise, says, "We have to quit having this place run the way it was run. Bottom line, no speaker. At this point, no speaker." Will there be a speaker by the end of the week? Who knows? How many votes is this going to take? The problem is, in all seriousness, legislation gets gunked up and held up, and then you think of funding for the government, because remember, there's just a Band-Aid, aid for Israel, what's going to happen with that, and what's going to happen? Is nothing right now. That's the answer, nothing. When it comes to money, we can't help but be fascinated. Even if we don't even play the lottery, people are talking about the lottery. So 22, 24, 40, 52, 64, and Powerball 10, that was the number for the Powerball drawing. And guess what? Somebody in California has the winning ticket. So somebody in California is the winning ticket. I mean, it could be a group of people that all threw in together. Who knows? Think about that. $1.73 billion. You take out the taxes that you got to pony up right away, and you still have a ton of money left over. I mean, you know, we all know the crazy statistics about how much easier it is to have this happen to you or that horrific thing happen to you than winning the lottery. But somebody's going to win it. Somebody won it. Somebody has that ticket in California. What if, you know, especially for people who don't play that much, maybe you get the ticket somewhere in the car, you stuck it in a pocket, you just kind of forgot about it. Can you imagine there's a winning ticket? I bet the person who won probably is well aware that they have that that ticket and they're figuring out, how do I get everything in order so that I don't find myself stuck because everybody knows my name and everybody's knocking down my door to talk to me and ask me for money. Yeah, because that can be the difficult sidebar of it. Although I don't feel sorry for anybody who wins that kind of money. Just got to figure out how to handle it, right? Handling it is what it's about, and figuring things out is what it's about as we motor through some interesting things that also happened, because so much of what we're talking about is, of course, about Israel and the horrific, haunting, horrible stories we're hearing and the fear for the hostages and what the reaction is going to be and, you know, what does it mean for those people and the worries over that. Let me give you a story about that I was talking to somebody about today. There was a planned high school shooting that was stopped, that was thwarted, which is always good news. This led to the arrest of three teenagers in North Florida. Deputies were alerted to text messages that mentioned two lists targeting multiple students at Creekside High School. What the sheriff's office says is they had a lethal hit list. People they wanted to physically, they had two lists. They had a lethal hit list, so they thought about this, and they had the wanted to physically harm lists. The text messages included pictures of students the suspects planned on targeting with their faces circled, aerial photos of the high school, and firearms they planned to use. Reports are why. I mean, they're saying, were they bullied by other students? That always seems to be the thing that bubbles up. And there was no confirmation of that. So the fact that the school superintendent and the district and the law enforcement was able to stop this and shut this down is incredibly significant, because you have three teenagers who are facing these charges, but because they could, they found the information, that was stopped. And that's a good thing, because unfortunately we hear too often of plots and plans that go through and we see what happens in the aftermath. But this one was stopped ahead of time, so bravo for that. Anyway, that can be stopped, all the much better for everybody, and how much safer for the students who could have been, who might not have been on either of these crazy lists, but could have been caught in the, in the middle of the, of all of it. Just absolutely awful to think about that. Because we talk about polls here, because you always ask about polls, there's a new Michigan poll that shows that Trump leads Biden by 7 in key states, in a couple of key states. In Michigan being one of them, 7 is that. Ohio's poll shows that Trump beats Biden, a poll that was just done in Ohio, by 12. And a Nevada poll says Trump leads by 52. Of course, that's over opponents in the Republican Party. But former President Donald Trump leading Joe Biden by 12 percentage points in the swing state of Ohio. That's according to an Emerson College polling system. 45% of Ohio voters support Trump, and they say he is the clear frontrunner, of course, for the Republican presidential nomination. Biden running for reelection has 33% of the support. They were also asked in this particular poll, voters, if there was anything that their preferred candidates could do or say in the next several months that would make them choose not to support them. 55% of Trump supporters say there's nothing the former president could say or do that would make them choose not to support him for president in 2024. Only 20% said they would change their mind. And in the Biden side of things, nearly half said there's nothing that the president could do or say in the next several months that would change their minds. And then another 21% say they could change their minds. So, I mean, these are polls, but it's interesting to watch. I mean, it looks like it is the rematch. What would stop that rematch from happening? I don't see it. The Alamo, do we really know what happened? Lewis Cook, one of my favorites. Great interview we did. Conversation with him coming up next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. In Tel Aviv, on Saturday, a large gathering demanded a fresh hostage arrangement with Hamas, fueled by anger, grief, and escalating frustration following the acknowledgement of Israeli forces mistakenly killing three hostages. The spokesman emphasized that the soldiers perceived a threat and the tragic incident occurred in a combat zone. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham believes a border security deal won't happen until after the first of the year.
We feel like we're being jammed. We're not anywhere close to a deal.
Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Graham slammed President Biden's border policy, saying the president has obliterated the border. Pope Francis celebrated his 87th birthday today by holding Sunday audience at the Vatican, where he was greeted by hundreds of children and their families to whom the church provides free health care. Dave Collins, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
And there was so much I didn't know about the Alamo, and I wish at the time that I had this book. Lewis Cook is with us, and his book is Joe's Alamo Unsung. So you think about, like I said, what didn't we know and what don't we know about the Alamo, and he has put it together in this brilliant book. Lewis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to learn that you got married at the Alamo. That's amazing as well.
I like the history. You know, there was something about the history of it. There was something about what I felt when I was there. And there's so many things, like I said, that we don't know that you researched and you put into this book. So let's talk about that. You know, the one thing that everybody listening to us, I bet, has heard, remember the Alamo. And that slogan is such an important slogan. But the problem is there's people, because that's about courage, there's people that weren't recognized at the Alamo, right?
Oh, and that's the part that blows me over. For example, that statement, remember the Alamo, was probably first said by a woman, Susan Dickinson. And she was saying it and said it first because she wanted everybody to remember that her husband, a very devoted guy named Captain Almorn Dickinson, who was in charge of the artillery, had got killed at the Alamo. And her only daughter, their only daughter, Angela, was also a toddler. And she was she was fit to be died, to have them remember her husband and their sacrifice. So that was the first thing that kind of stood out for me at the Alamo. But another one that comes to mind is a statement that is written in our history book. It says, it is sometimes said that life at the early days of Texas was an adventure for men and dogs, but hell on women and horses. Nowhere mentioned there are blacks or minorities, and therefore that says we're probably a step or so below horses and dogs. And I'm saying it facetiously, of course.
Right.
But historically, it has too much truth to it. So that's how this story, that's how this book got written. It actually started with me having to teach Texas history to 8th graders or 7th graders, I forgot the year, and I had no Texas history. That's not a way to start off in Texas. The kids knew more than I did, and I was incensed that I would not let them continue to embarrass me in front of the classroom, so I had to go and learn some Texas history while I was teaching it to them. And, of course, that was quite a challenge, but that's how this thing got started.
Yeah, and you learned that there was, you know, these, first of all, there's overwhelming odds, we know that, but you learned that there were volunteers that fought. You learned that there were all races and religions that got together and fought, and that's not really talked about.
And it's amazing, because the only survivors, the only English survivors of the Alamo are Susan Dickinson, we just mentioned her, her daughter Angelina, and Joe. Joe was William Travis's slave. And he said, the only male survivor said that every race and every religion was there. Every race. Every religion. So how and why would we ignore so many other persons who contributed to such a vital thing in our nation's history and, of course, Texas history? There was an oversight that when I learned about it, it was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
We got to do something about that. But the challenge came from one of my students who actually asked me. His father, I learned later, was a history professor at the University of Houston. And he was sending these kind of questions to his son, and they were keeping me up at night. But that was the kind of thing. Joe and John. Joe is a survivor. John is listed among the dead at the Alamo. So we know minorities were there. But regrettably, John was listed as a black boy. And, of course, that's kind of insulting. But it again shows the level of respect that we as women, as minorities, had at the time. For me, the thing I like about it, the book, Joe's Alamo, is not only to remind you of the original line in the sand, but it recalls how women, blacks, whites, yes, I say whites, Chinese Americans, Native Americans, Muslim Americans, Buddhist Americans, all defended the Alamo, all gave their lives. And that's a story I think far worth reading.
Yeah, and you've written this. This is a novel that includes all races and religions that we're just talking about. And what happens with Joe. Joe, who is wounded, but lives on, and he speaks Spanish, and he can translate some of the crazy things that he saw, the words of the Army general, as you describe it, who attacked the Alamo. And what was that general like? He was bloodthirsty, wasn't he?
He was a wild man, an absolute maniac, and he wasn't described as killing people for fun, but he was described as killing people for no reason. And for some reason, that seemed to have excited him. When I started reading and trying to get a grip on this story, I started off with just the books that I was reading, the textbooks. And then I read the books in the library at the school that I was teaching, Sharpstown High in Houston, HISD. Then that led me to the University of Houston and the Texas libraries around the state. And I finally read some of the translations of General Santa Anza, who was the general in charge of Antonio Lopez de Santana, in charge of attacking the Alamo for those 14 days. And he was a very brutal guy. He would cut off your head and stick it on a spear and leave it on a trail leading to wherever he was attacking.
Wow. Wow. Just even visualizing that. When people read this book, which you can get on Amazon, Joe's Alamo Unsung, Louis E. Cook, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Boy, it's two great things I want them to take away from this book, because these people, these defenders of the Alamo who were fighting for independence, were doing just the opposite of what Santa Ana was doing. They were fighting progressively greater and longer odds, whereas Santa Ana was getting more and more reinforcement. And that there are so many contributions from persons all over the country, people from England, Scotland, France, Germany, Denmark, Spain, countries all around Europe, and it's not a stretch at all to imagine that India and China, which are the other minorities that I included, and I had to do so, Kate, but simply because the material, the actual factual historical material, is just too narrow. It didn't even give very much attention to Joe and Susan Dickinson, the survivors.
Wow.
So it only did a speck to the remainder. But I think we did a decent job of allowing people to recognize that if persons came from all of these regions, then it's likely the regions next door could have easily been included. The thing that knocked me off my socks was to learn that the song, we sing it all the time here in Texas, the Yellow Rose of Texas,
yeah,
originally was about a black woman named Emily. Emily, a black lady, is the Yellow Rose of Texas. And the lyrics kind of point that out. So my challenge early on was to say, we start off with a toddler, less than 2 years old, Susan Dickinson, and Joe. How can I show these persons to be the heroes that they were? And I'm really proud of the way I actually ended up showing that toddler, Angelina, the little two-year-old or less, as a hero. And I think it fits well with the description of what she could have done. So I like that.
So you've been to the Alamo, I imagine. What is that visit like for you now?
From my first visit to now, when I get there, the Alamo is like, well, I have to say it's like a tomb, and I regard it as such. And I see the Alamo as a place of sacrifice, sacred, and respect. When I first got there, early on, I saw the Alamo as a brave spot where, you know, should be somebody's swinging swords and fighting cannons and all, but now it is a grave site to me. And it's a grave site for original reasons. The persons who died at the Alamo, all of them, Jim Bowie, David Crockett, James Travis, they were burned. Their bodies were burned in that same ground. So for that reason, yeah, that's your final resting place. But I appreciate it as a place where all of Texas, minorities and otherwise, came together and made a sacrifice and made a tremendous statement for history. Only place in the world, remember the Alamo, where less than 300 people fought for 15 days, almost 15 days, against 5,000 defenders.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy to think of it. Great book, Joe's Alamo Unsung. Louis Cook, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Everybody must agree with your form of self-expression. By the way, don't care to the face or to say see you later to your face and chase a new obsession.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Corner, Mary Artisone joins us. She's written a book called God Says Yes 91 Times. So she joins me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight for, like I said, this edition of Author's Corner. And it's such an interesting book, and her life, just like all of us, has had those peaks and those valleys. And what do you do when you find yourself in that situation? And in her book, she has a number of different categories of famous prayer requests for everything that one can imagine, careers and entertainment and health and medicine and innovations and money. Of course, finance is always very, very big. So, Mary, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, glad to be here.
What made you decide to write this book? What was the inspiration?
Well, at the time I was out of work and I was nearing bankruptcy. I did eventually have to file for bankruptcy a few years later, and I was in the graphic design field, and I thought, I think I'm going to challenge God. I said, if you can remind me of enough big time prayer requests that you said yes to over the years, I'll sit down and write a book about it. And they say when you challenge God, he'll come right back at you and say, I'll take you up on the challenge. And that's exactly what happened. He kept reminding me of all these big time prayer requests that he said yes to over the years.
Wow. So you're in that spot. You're out of work. You eventually have to file for bankruptcy. How did your prayers get answered? What happened then on your journey?
Well, what happened was I just kept notes over the years after I challenged God, and he brought all these memories back to me of prayer requests that were answered yes. I kept a lot of notes, and then when I had enough notes to write a book, I thought, okay, I guess I'll sit down and write a book about it, because I think God wants me to do that. And I also wasn't even sure I was supposed to be an author, but I asked God, well, if you want me to be an author, would you give me a physical sign of some sort? And I thought, yeah, a camel fitting through the eye of a needle, that sounds like kind of an impossible thing. But why don't you have plants growing through the wall of a building if you think that's a good choice for me for my career? So I went into the Bethesda, Maryland library one day, and sure enough, there were ivy vines growing through the crack of the bottom of the wall by the air conditioning duct, and a lot of them. And I thought, okay, God, I guess I got the hint. You want me to be an author someday. And that's what gave me the hint to go ahead and write the book.
And when you sat down to write the book, because, and I mentioned this at the top, because there's some really specific things that you do, because that's what people want. You know, there's something, and usually it's because something is happening that's hurting, obviously, financial, physically, that kind of thing. And most people, and you say it right in the beginning, keep their prayer life very private, and you say you were no exception. Then you had this struggle, and how do you pay the bills, and what do you do? And you've described that to us, and what a difference that made for you. Once you found that those prayers were answered, did that just strengthen your belief?
Yes, it did. Yes, I was really amazed at how many big time prayer requests he said yes to. I thought, oh gosh, this is this idea, this is that idea. And I was surprised how many big time things he said yes to. The public would be familiar with a lot of these things.
Yeah, so tell us a couple of those.
Well, for example, I know computers used to be big-time machines, and I thought, gee, I wish somebody would invent a personal computer and that just people could put on their desk or whatever. And I said, God, could you find a California man who would do this kind of invention? It would have a mouse. It would be called a mouse because it would look like a mouse with a long wire coming out of it. It would have a keyboard, a moving arrow on the screen, and find an engineer who could do this invention out of California. Well, it turns out Steve Jobs was out in California. He decided to create this invention. And then I said, God, by the way, this invention could be with a company that would be called Apple. And the reason for that was, in the beginning of the Bible, you've got Adam and Eve and a bite taken out of the apple, and that changed everything. And I said yes. I was a graphic artist over the years. I said, have a logo that would have a bite taken out of the apple for this company and call the company Apple. And that would just change everything. The personal computer would change everything in business, science, education, personal use, and then call the company Apple, and that way I think that would be a good solution to this personal computer problem. And right now it's worth $3 trillion, I heard on the TV not long ago, so they're doing very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Jobs, as you described what happened with him, we know the rest is certainly history. In your own life, you and I had a conversation off the air, and you told me about your brother Bill and how he was paralyzed from the neck down. What happened with that, and how did you deal with having to deal with him and figure it out?
Well, when I was working at a newspaper as a graphic artist, I had a story I was working on, and there was a picture of a guy that was paralyzed from the neck down, and I had lots of disturbing feelings coming to me that evening when I was working at the newspaper. I said, God, what are you trying to tell me anyway? So I cut out a picture of this guy in the wheelchair and propped it up on my dresser. I said, God, is it my wild imagination, or is this really part of my future? And I propped it up. The next morning when I was waking up, it was on the floor, and I said, okay, God, I get the hint. Something about this is going to be part of my future. And then I didn't know what, so I said, is it me or somebody close to me? as time went on, he brought my Bill's name, Brother Bill's name, into my mind a lot. And I said, okay, if Bill's going to be paralyzed from the neck down, make sure these things are in place before it happens. He has $100,000 in the bank. I have freedom in my schedule to help him out. Computers are highly advanced so that seriously disabled people can use them. And I said, just, you know, make sure that all these kinds of things are in place before you allow him to become paralyzed. Well, I had the premonition in 1986. His accident happened in 1998. Everything was in place. Everything happened just according to my prayer request. I was so surprised. I really was. And he didn't have to get shipped off to a nursing home or anything. He had money to pay cash for a house. My dad helped him a little bit because he would get a future inheritance at some point. But, yeah, I was just so surprised at how, you know, accurately everything was answered and how I got such an advanced notice of everything.
Yeah, you say in one way that's so hair-raising, but then in the other way, some of what you said, boy, at least have this in place, and then look what happened. All right, the name of the book is God Says Yes 91 Times. You can get Mary's book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. When you put this together, one of the things that you talk about in the end is spiritual reflections and observations. And what do you mean by spiritual reflections?
Well, I've read a lot of spiritual books over the years, and I thought, yeah, a lot of these are words of wisdom to live by, and things that help you not limit God. For example, if it's sometimes we think our prayer requests aren't going to be answered because they're just too big. However, God will answer prayer requests in a really big time way sometimes. And I think we may think it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So I think we have to remember that words of wisdom to live by. I got a lot of spiritual books, and I was reading some of them and took a few things out of some of them. And I just thought, yeah, that kind of gives people reflections on what to do with their ideas and prayer requests and words of wisdom to live by.
Yeah. So, and that wraps that up, too, the book. That's was a great way to wrap things up with what you talked about in the rest of the book. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I think I want people to realize that you don't have to actually pray in a formal way to God. You can just express your ideas to God, like, gee, I think it would be great if somebody would invent something that did this, that, or the other thing. Or, gosh, I really wish this and that. And God will hear you, and he will answer you yes if he thinks it's a good idea. It'll either be yes, no, or wait. And some of my prayer requests, I had to wait a long time before I would get a yes answer. But I think it's so important to know that he listens to all of our desires, our needs, our aspirations, our invention ideas, just everything. And then he will act on them. He'll find the right people, the right money. You don't have to have money to your name because I was always poor. But he'll find the money, the people, everything to make big time things happen.
All right, again, the name of the book is God Says Yes 91 Times. Mary, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.